Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay on Tuesday, June the 10th. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. Coming up, we hear from a Kent mum whose baby was initially diagnosed with bronchiolitis, only for it to turn out to be a life-threatening heart condition. We can hear from the boss of a youth group in Thanet who say the loss of their current home would be devastating. Plus, we speak to one of Kent's oldest company directors. But first, we start by hearing how a Sevenoaks man led police on a 130 mile per hour chase. Lee Twinley was followed for 20 minutes on the M25 and M11 towards Cambridge back in March. This is the moment the pursuit was viewed from a police helicopter.
Still between 8 and 9.
He's trying to get past you on lane 1 in the hard shoulder.
Yeah, that's the same. 5-1 now, pursuit commander again. Subject remains 100 mile an hour. Undertaking vehicles.
Officers started pursuing Twinley on the M25 near Brentwood in Essex, although it wasn't revealed in court exactly why. The 20-year-old from Manor Road in Sundridge had been drinking, and footage played in court shows him swerving from lane to lane.
The subject's manner of driving has become somewhat erratic. It's now weaving around in the lane. The risk remains medium this time, 130 miles an hour. And a national limit. Traffic is moderate. No pedestrian traffic.
Twinley only came to a stop when he lost control of the Volkswagen Tiago, hit a central reservation and then crashed into a tree. He was unconscious when officers pulled him from the wreckage and was taken to hospital in Cambridge. He suffered ligament and cartilage injuries to his knee and still needs surgery. In court, he admitted a number of offences, including dangerous driving, but avoided going to prison. Instead, a 12-month sentence was suspended for 2 years. However, he has been given a 30-month driving ban and must also do 300 hours of unpaid work and complete an alcohol treatment programme.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories today in a bus driver who killed a young girl in Bexley Heath when he fell asleep at the wheel after taking drugs has been jailed for 4 years. A court heard the 23-year-old from Southwark had taken cannabis the night before the collision happened on Watling Street last August. 9-year-old Ada Bikaki had been on a pavement with her family when the vehicle mounted the curb. Tributes have been paid to an Ashford woman who died following a stabbing. Erika Florea Lazar was found at a property in Elson Close a week ago. The 55-year-old's been described as beautiful, gentle and charismatic. A woman's been taken to hospital with a serious hand injury after being bitten by a dog in Gillingham. It happened as she walked along Junction Road near to Napier Road at the end of May. A dog's been seized and a 57-year-old man's been arrested and bailed. Three motorcyclists have been injured in a crash in the Ramsgate Tunnel. Police, paramedics and firefighters were called to the A299 Royal Harbour approach at around 8 last night. The road was closed for more than 2 hours. The bikers were all taken to hospital for treatment. Now, a Maidstone mum has told us how her baby's initial diagnosis of bronchiolitis turned out to be a life-threatening heart condition. Little Layla was born in October last year, but became ill less than 2 months later and was rushed to hospital. She was initially discharged, but scans were carried out the following week when she failed to improve. Susan Gergen has been speaking to our reporter, Ellie Hodgson.
During our time there, there were babies that didn't make it. So even though you're going through absolute your own version of hell, you're well aware that there are parents that have, you know, paid the ultimate price in losing their child, and we hadn't. So, you know, we were really thankful that we still had her, really, and that she was still fighting. And she did. She fought the whole way through. She's such a tough little thing. Faced death, really, and came back from it, to be honest with you. I don't think that there was much hope initially that she would make it. Because of the condition that she was in. But at every turn where they thought that she might fare so well, she kind of proved everyone wrong, really.
When did things start to look up in the sense you started to have like a bit of relief that, you know, you're coming home and everything was going to improve?
So that literally didn't happen until about 5 days before we came home. So the consultants in the Brompton literally never, ever mentioned us coming home. until the time when they were like, so when do you want to go home then? And I was like, what do you mean, when do we want to go home? But I think it was because of her, because they didn't expect her to do as well as quickly as she did. Because I guess that, you know, rightly so, consultants don't want to give you false hope. And also they're in the difficult position that every child is different and they will recover differently. So throughout the whole time, they never committed to giving us a time that, you know, we could go home or when X, Y, and Z would happen, because I guess there's so many different factors that could come into play that would then maybe delay that. So it's like they didn't want to give us false hope, I guess. So it's like you get kind of the worst prognosis. And then anything other than that is a bonus, really. So yeah, things turned around for us really, really quickly. It's like she just heard the word tracheostomy and was like, no thank you, and decided that actually she'd get pull herself together even more. And beat it, really.
Now, Layla spent 10 weeks in hospital and is now doing really well back at home. The family are hoping to raise awareness of the symptoms to help others.
Kent Online reports.
A teenager has been arrested after police seized an e-motorbike in Rochester. It was allegedly being ridden unsafely on the high street in the early hours of Sunday. Officers carried out a search. They also found cannabis, and a 19-year-old is due in court next month. Meantime, police have seized an e-unicycle after it was spotted being ridden through Ashford Town Centre. Youngsters using the solo wheel were seen by community officers yesterday morning. It's illegal to ride e-vehicles on public streets, pavements or cycle lanes. A toddler suffered a concussion after tripping over a hole at a play park in Herne Bay. The 2.5-year-old had to be taken to A&E after she fell and landed on concrete at Burton Down Recreation Ground. Her mum is urging bosses in Canterbury to fix the hole, which measured about 30 centimetres wide. The council have been contacted for a comment. Eurostar have announced plans today to run direct trains from the UK to Germany and Switzerland. New services are expected to launch in the early 2030s. There's still no word yet, though, on when trains to Paris will stop at Ebbsfleet or Ashford again after they were suspended during COVID. We'll have more reaction to this story in tomorrow's episode of the podcast. There's been another drop in unemployment in Kent. According to figures out today, 40,255 people were claiming out-of-work benefits in the county in April. That's down by 990 compared to the previous month. Now, the boss of a youth group in Thanet says the loss of their current home would be devastating. Pie Factory Music hosts activities, events and workshops for under-25s at Ramsgate Youth Centre. However, last year, Kent County Council announced plans to sell the building. Well, Kate has been speaking to Zoe Karasik, who is the CEO of Pie Factory.
We've been running youth services in Thanet for a very long time now, and we learned in September last year that Kent County Council, who own the building, the youth centre that we operate from, had decided to put it up for sale. And that was really devastating news for us. This has been our home for coming up for 12 years now. And, you know, it's always been a youth centre. It's been a youth centre since it was built in 1969. And the whole team and really our whole community felt really moved to kind of try everything we could to challenge the decision to dispose of the building. And yeah, we kind of made it our mission to save the youth centre. And people have fundraised for us and put on their own different events. Our lovely comms person, Bea, put on her own book sale fundraiser. We've had people doing personal challenges and live music gigs. And this was Connor, Louis and Jeff's way of showing their support for our campaign, combining cycling, which is something that they love, with our mission, which is to save our youth centre. So I feel incredibly proud of them and very grateful for their efforts, and just really chuffed that, you know, this is something that they felt that they really wanted to do. So yeah, I feel very fortunate to have such an amazing team.
And you mentioned there that the youth centre has really been a really integral part of the Thanet community for such a long time. If you were to lose the building, what would it mean for the community?
I think it would be devastating for our young people. So Kent underwent a transformation around their children and youth services last year, and they transformed a lot of their youth hubs, so KCC run youth clubs, into family hubs that were more destinations for families and not specifically young people, which really affected young people across Kent. But in our district, it meant that our sister youth centre over in Margate stopped being a youth centre. And so that makes our youth centre here in Ramsgate the only youth centre left in the district. And I think if this place were to go, it would send such a sad message to the young people in our area about what they're worth and how they're valued by our local authority, and what they really deserve and need in terms of space.
Three youth workers have cycled nearly 250 miles from coast to coast to raise money in the hope that they can eventually buy the building from the council.
Kent Online reports.
The future of plans to transform a derelict maternity hospital in Gravesend into flats have hit a bit of a snag. Demolition of one of the buildings on the site in Bath Street is believed to have been carried out before all conditions were agreed to. They've now had to apply for a document from the council to show the development is lawful. A decision is due by the end of next month. Plans for new homes on the site of a former pear orchard in Tenham have resurfaced. Similar proposals for more than 20 properties on Osier's farm were refused in 2021 because pedestrian access to the village wasn't good enough. Well, the developer says they've now addressed concerns. Meantime, Faversham could be about to get its first McDonald's. The people behind a housing development in the town have put in a planning application for a drive-through. The site of the M2 and A251 had initially been earmarked for offices, but it's emerged no firms came forward. We can hear now from one of Kent's oldest company directors, who's told us he has no intention whatsoever of retiring. Derek Ward is 92 and still works 6 days a week. He's the boss of Envirograph in Barfriston near Dover, which makes fireproofing products like barriers and specialised doors and coatings. They have a factory with 128 workers, a satellite office in the town and two other sites in Durham. Well, Derek has been speaking to reporter Sam Lennon.
People luckily keep ringing me up and asking me to invent something, and so as I invent something for them, that's another product on the market.
Why don't you sort of just take it easy and let somebody else take over?
Because there isn't anybody else to take over at the moment.
And you were saying off camera that there are disadvantages of retiring, that sort of...
Well, the thing is, if you retire... People then, I've got loads to do. My wife gives me this, wife gives you that. Within 6 months, they've done it all. And then they're then sitting. Their day is go and pick the newspaper up, go back, sit there, have coffee or tea and a bit of breakfast. Then sit there reading the newspaper. Then their wife may say, shall we go down the shops? Otherwise, the wife leaves him there and he's sitting there. And you go on like that, so you're just wasting your life away.
Were you almost suggesting that retirement can actually shorten your life?
Oh, yeah. No. And don't retire, just keep going. If you all kept going, if everybody would be doing a job, they'd be earning money and everything. Instead of that, oh, dear, I haven't got any money, they don't give us our Christmas thing and all this thing. Why? If they could work, they could still work, they've got... Loads of people could be at work.
And you can read more about Derek's incredible life by heading to Kent Online. An event's being held today to officially launch a new shipping service on the Isle of Sheppey. Peel Ports have invested £30 million in a new vessel berth and floating pontoon, which will boost capacity for cargo at their site in Sheerness. Bosses say a new service will also connect Kent with European ports, including Finland, Belgium, Poland and Spain. Fresh plans have been unveiled for a huge transformation of Folkestone seafront. Developers want to build more housing and commercial units near the harbour. Previous proposals were rejected earlier this year. You can see what the new designs look like by following Kent Online on socials or indeed heading to the website. And Kent author Frederick Forsyth, who wrote The Day of the Jackal, has died at the age of 86. He was born in Ashford and has been described as one of the world's greatest thriller writers. His book was recently made into a TV series starring Eddie Redmayne.
Kent Online Sports.
Football first up, and the Gillingham manager says he can't wait to have Bradley Dack in his squad next season. The 31-year-old's agreed a new year-long contract at Priestfield. He only played 20 times during the last campaign and says he has unfinished business. Gareth Ainsworth's told us it was a no-brainer having him back.
I know Bradley's pleased to be here. I know this club means so much to him, but On the flip side, I'm really pleased. Bradley is definitely a player with quality above this level. There's been question marks, obviously, about how much you're going to play and how his legs are after his injuries. But, you know, when you see the glimpses that I saw in my 6 weeks here at the end of the season, I'd be stupid not to try and re-sign Bradley Dack. I have to say that Bradley has made the ultimate sacrifice and gone, yeah, it's not about the money. I'll come here because I love the club. I think that's fantastic, you know, because there is budget constraints now. You know, there's no way we can carry on spending the way we were. And Bradley totally understands that and gone, you know what, it's not about that anymore. It's about me almost proving that he can still do it, but also giving back to the club that started what a fantastic career he's had, you know, and it's great. So Bradley's definitely in that mentoring group, you know, and I expect Brad to be one of the big leaders this season. We spoke on the phone. We have some great Zoom calls. He's got a very busy life, you know, away from here, and everyone knows that. But that's part and parcel of the character of Bradley Dack. You know, that's what he is. He's that flamboyant winner, magic man sometimes. And I always go back to his goal against MK Dons, you know, sensational moment for him and for me, my first win. But his career as well, you know, to have gone through what he's gone through, so close to everything, and then injuries, which I know so well, that can kill you. And but then to make that comeback, which that almost was a special moment for him. And yeah, really pleased.
On to tennis now. And after winning her doubles match yesterday, Kent's Emma Raducanu starts her singles campaign at Queen's today. She's taking on Spain's Cristina Buxa in the opening round this afternoon. And Charlton are planning to open a pop-up shop at Bluewater. It follows their promotion to the championship after winning the playoff final at Wembley last month. The store in the Upper Rose Gallery will stock their new kit and is expected to open later this month. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. Plus, you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And whilst you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. If you use the promo code Nicola Everett, all one word at the checkout, you'll get £30 off the price of an annual subscription.
News you can trust. This is the Kent Online Podcast.